Welcome to the Finding Grace in the Wilderness podcast. I'm your host, Sharon Hawkins. Here each week, we will share stories about how God's grace can be found during life's most difficult circumstances. Meet with me around the table as we chat with others who have found that God's faithfulness never ends. We will share truth and life and discuss faith, fears, struggles, and victories. Join us as we seek to grow deeper in relationship with Jesus, the one who makes a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Last Monday evening, I sat in the hospital room of my precious mother-in-law, Shirley Hawkins. I was watching the monitor by her bed as I was concerned that the numbers seemed low. Earlier that day, the doctor had changed her level of care to comfort care, and at some point he explained to the family that it would be changed to hospice care. It had been a difficult day, yet we did not know that it would be that very night that Jesus would come to take Shirley home. Some special friends of the family came to visit, Pastor Travis Burns and his sweet wife, Michelle. I know that God sent them that night to be there. They visited with Shirley a bit. She knew they were there. Michelle is her hairdresser, and I knew that the two of them had shared many secrets. They were of great comfort to Shirley. She hardly opened her eyes, but she tried to talk with them, and she tried to talk with me. I called my husband and his brother David and let them know that her readings were lower. During our talk with Shirley, she told us that she loved us. Her sons were on their way back to the hospital when the nurse came back in and I questioned her about the readings. She came back soon with another nurse and told us that Shirley would probably pass within the next hour or so. I called my husband to give him the update from the nurse, and then I read from Revelation 21 to Shirley, to talk about the place that I knew that she was going because she had accepted Jesus as her Savior, and I knew Jesus was coming for her. Revelation 21, beginning with verse 10. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, its radiance like a most rare jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and on the gates the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel were inscribed. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And the one who spoke with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city and its gates and walls. The city lies four square, its length the same as its width. And he measured the city with his rod, 12,000 stadia. Its length and width and height are equal. He also measured its walls, 144 cubits by human measurement, which is also an angel's measurement. The wall was built of jasper, while the city was pure gold, like clear glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with every kind of jewel. The first was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth carnelian, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, the 12th amethyst, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls, each of the gates made of a single pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of earth will bring their glory into it, and its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I told Shirley I knew her name was written there, and I knew that's where she was going. I thanked her for giving me the most wonderful husband in the world, and I told her I wouldn't have Scott if it weren't for her. I thanked her for being such a wonderful mom to me for the 33 years that I've been in her family. I told her she was a wonderful wife and mother, and that all of her family loved her so much, and that we all knew that she loved us too. I promised her that we would take care of Marvin, that we would make sure that he ate well, and that he wasn't lonely. I told her it was a blessing that all of her family knew Jesus, and that one day we would gather around the throne. We would tell these little, sweet, precious great-grandchildren all about Jesus and give them every opportunity to come to know him when it was their time. I asked her if she would give Bradley the biggest hug and tell him that his mama loves him and that one day I'll be coming there to see him too. I told her that I loved her. And she weakly told me that she loved me too. That is a precious gift that I will always treasure. As I was getting off the phone with my husband again, I heard Shirley asking Michelle about her pocketbook. Shirley wanted to know where her pocketbook was. You see, I know she knew she was going somewhere. I told her that it was in the closet and that I was guarding it for her. Her mind had been as clear as it could be that day. Right after this, her pain became intense, and we had to call the nurse to help her. After the nurse left, Michelle and I were each on either side of her, trying to comfort her. I said, "It's okay." I started singing the old hymn, "What a Day That Will Be," to Shirley, and Michelle and Travis softly joined in with me. As I was singing, she opened both of her eyes very widely, and she was looking in awe and wonder. I tried to put my face in front of her, but she was focusing on something past me. Oh, how I wish I could have seen what she saw. I believe it was Jesus coming toward her. I know he was taking her home. She closed her eyes. We finished singing the song. And when we got to the very end, where it said, "And when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day, that will be." Shirley took her last breath on earth and her next breath in glory. 2 Corinthians 5:8 says, "We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord." In that moment, this saint of God had reached her reward. Jesus came and took her hand from mine. I could feel his sweet presence in the room. What an amazing, incredible experience. And I rejoice to know that I will be reunited with my sweet mother-in-law one fine day. I miss her more than words, and our whole family is struggling through these difficult days. She was a devoted, loving wife for 70 years to Marvin, my father-in-law. They had two boys who each had two boys. And those four grandsons have five great-grands between them. Next to God, her family was everything to her. And there is not a single one of us who is not absolutely positive that she loved us, because she always told us. Every parting, every conversation always ended with an "I love you." And if we were in person, we got a hug to go along with it. She was an amazing woman who taught her family to hope in God. I was also with my mom and dad each when they met Jesus, and I wouldn't trade the experience for anything. Oh, how I wish I could have been there when my 21-year-old Bradley met Jesus. When my dad passed on January 16th of 2016, after a 27-year battle with Parkinson's disease, his meeting with Jesus was similar. My son Taylor and I were each on either side of his hospital bed holding his hands, and we were praying for Daddy. As Taylor prayed, he said, "The same power that raised Jesus from the grave lives in my papa." Just then, I heard my dad take a deep breath. I opened my eyes from our prayer to see him looking at me, yet he wasn't looking at me. He was looking right through me, seeing someone else. I know it was Jesus. I so wanted to turn around and see him too. I know that the Lord came for my daddy, just like he did my mom. And last week he came for Shirley. I so want to know what each of them saw. I want to know what my Bradley experienced too. We are all curious about the hereafter, aren't we? We've all heard the questions. When we sing, will beautiful music come out? What will the food taste like in heaven? So many questions. So much is a mystery, and God designed it that way. He wants to surprise us. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, "However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love Him." Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, "He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, He has put eternity into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end." I can only imagine. Even if He explained it all to us in the Bible, I don't believe we could fully grasp it. 1 Corinthians 13:12 says, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known." C.S. Lewis said, "There have been times when I think we do not desire heaven, but more often I find myself wondering whether, in our heart of hearts, we have desired anything else." He also said, "The fact that our hearts yearn for something earth cannot provide is proof that heaven must be our home." Everything we long for in our lives, world peace, endless vacation and rest, that everyone would get along and love each other, that our pain would go away, that our broken hearts will heal, that sin would die, that the devil would leave us alone, all of that will be realized in heaven. Isn't heaven what we are really longing for? Maybe we just don't recognize it. Matthew 6:19 through 21, "Do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." The more loved ones I have in heaven, the sweeter heaven grows to me. And I have had stuff stolen on an enormous scale on earth. But in heaven, there will be no more stealing. What I lay up there is safe and sound. Only what we do for Christ matters. The rest of it gets burned up. And the beauty of heaven? Oh, I can only imagine. The scripture from Revelation is a beautiful reflection of the vision that God gave to John. Somehow I know the words still fall short of how glorious it is there. I've experienced some beautiful sights on earth. Bermuda has coral beaches, and I have seen at sunset the purple and pink and rainbow sky touch turquoise waters there. I've seen the Grand Canyon, and it's almost surreal. It's an unbelievable sight that will leave you changed forever. We've been to Yosemite National Park in California's Sierra Nevada Mountains. It has beautiful giant sequoia trees, and what a beautiful tunnel view of Bridal Veil Fall and the cliffs of El Capitan and Half Dome. Our own Blue Ridge Mountains are majestic and beautiful. I know that there are so many more breathtaking sights throughout our country that I haven't seen, that some of you have. When we first see something breathtaking, like the Grand Canyon, we're so excited. We don't really have words to describe the beauty. We jump up and down. We might squeal. The second day we see it, we're still super excited. Third day, woohoo! Fourth time, yes, can we do something else today? In heaven, our excitement will not diminish. Every day for all eternity, we will be having that first time experience, I'm sure. Wow, I think my mouth will be dropped open for about a gazillion years. I can only imagine. And by far the very best part is Jesus will be there. He promises we will be with Him. We can have this sweet promise of heaven because of His sacrifice for us. The promise of our togetherness is what held Him to the cross. I love these verses from Job 19:25-27. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last He will stand upon the earth, and after my skin has been thus destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. My heart faints within me. I can only imagine. If you don't know this Jesus of whom I speak, I invite you to come to know Him as your Lord and Savior today. The promise of heaven is only for those who have accepted Him as their personal Lord and Savior. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God made a way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through Him. I don't know what my loved ones saw as they headed toward heaven, but as we live each day with our eyes fixed on eternity, let us find the strength to persevere, the courage to stand firm in our faith, and the joy of knowing we are part of God's grand story, His plan for sending His Son to save us. Let this eternal perspective be the lens through which you view every aspect of your life. May God help us keep grounded in the hope and promise of our heavenly inheritance. For what's to come, oh, what a day that will be. My son Taylor and his wife Reed sang this song at Shirley's funeral. I'd like to share it with you.
The line in scripture which says, "Oh death, where's your sting?" Losing a little brother and then now a grandparent, just being around death, that's something I can cling to and think about. Like in the moment we feel this thing, but then we know that the Lord takes that. And we can cling to that and the hope that comes from that. And I know that as we sing this song, this is the last song that Mima heard on earth. But then knowing that she's up in heaven with the Lord around the throne, worshiping, crying, "Holy, holy, holy." I'm just thankful for that truth and knowing that she's not in pain, not suffering, and just the hope that we have in the Lord. So let's sing this together.
Clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be.
There'll be no more sorrow there, no more burdens to bear. sickness, no more pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, a glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, a glorious day that will be. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross until my trophies at last I lay down. And I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. And what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, a glorious day that will be.
I can only imagine. Thank you for listening to this episode of Finding Grace in the Wilderness. May God lead you safely through your wilderness as you trust Him, and may His river of grace always flood your desert times. He is doing a new thing. Let's not miss it. Subscribe or follow to make sure you don't miss a single episode. See you here next time.